Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all here. So glad to see all of you on Zoom as well. And I pray that we will have once more, every Sunday we gather together, we'll have special visit from the Holy Spirit who touches our heart, who speak to us in a gentle voice, so that we all can hear the voice of God this morning. A wealthy businessman showed up for worship on Christmas Sunday, which was his yearly routine. During prayer, he bowed his head and prayed fervently, "Lord, please let my 500,000 shares in that AI company soar. And while you are at it, could you double the price of my Amazon stock? I also have a business in California that's struggling. Maybe you could arrange a buyout, preferably very profitable." He went on like this for several minutes, praying himself into billionaire territory. Then he wrote a very generous check, dropped it in the offering plate, and promised God he'd give even more next Christmas, assuming the Lord delivered. As the service ended, the businessman noticed another man still kneeling in prayer. Curious, he lingered nearby and listened. "Lord," the man whispered, "help this poor sinner. Let me earn enough to feed my children. Maybe afford a new suit, some shoes, just enough to make it to a job interview." The businessman reached into his thick wallet, pulled out several $100 bills, tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "Here you go, friend. No need to bother God with the little stuff." Do people worry only about big things, not small ones? Does worrying belong to a certain category of people? Everyone in all status worried about all kinds of things. Some people even worry that they have nothing to worry about. Worry takes up a large portion of everyone's mind, all because of uncertainties deeply rooted in life, and sustaining life remains a great challenge. To this almost insurmountable problem, Jesus gave simple solutions in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus first pointed out how unproductive worrying is. He then emphasized how precious we are in God's eyes, thus the needlessness of worrying. Lastly, Jesus taught that believers should shift their focus from sustenance to God's purpose. Let's delve into them. To better understand the meaning of worry, I want to include verse 24 of chapter 6 in the gospel lesson. We didn't read it, but we will look into it. We usually study verses 19 through 24 for the lesson on treasures in heaven and verses 25 through 34 as a separate lesson on do not worry. We just read those parts, 25 through 34. But in the Greek text, these two teachings on treasures in heaven and not to worry are treated as one lesson, which help clarify the concept of worry. Verse 25 begins with therefore. Therefore is a conjunctive adverb in English grammar and indicates a logical result. The Greek word for therefore is more accurately translated as because of this. Because of this, I tell you, you do not have to worry. Because of what? So we need to look at 24. So let me read verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And verse 25. Therefore, or because of this, I tell you, do not worry about your life. How is the fact that we cannot serve two masters, money and God, related to the fact that we should not worry? Worry in Greek is merimna, which implies being divided into parts or going to pieces. The meaning of merimna agrees with the verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You should not be divided because you have only one choice, money or God, not both. But think about it. Our hearts are constantly preoccupied with concerns about expenses for food, clothing, health, and our lives in general. Our worry about money does not improve situation. Worse yet, worry takes our attention away from what God wants in our lives and from how to glorify God. When we worry about things, our hearts are divided and unsettled between money and God, like the word merimna indicates. That's what worry is. Our hearts are divided. We do not know what to do, wavering back and forth, and we make no progress in either direction. What Jesus said is absolutely correct. Can any of you, by worry, add a single hour to your lifespan? We cannot. Worry is not productive at all. It does not improve the situation nor our faith in God. Both worry and anxiety are deeply rooted in our lives. Properly, worry and anxiety are used in Bible translations. For example, the RSV translate Jesus' word here as, "Do not be anxious about your life," while other translations say, "Do not worry about your life." But mental health professionals distinguish between worry and anxiety and treat them as distinct symptoms. According to the Intermountain Health website, worry is manageable when anxiety is not. Anxiety comes on quickly, often lingers, impairs activities of daily living, and triggers a physical response. If you can get it under control, it is more likely to be worried. If getting it under control is harder, this could be a sign that's moved into anxiety. Regardless, it seems hard to break free from worry or anxiety. Yet Jesus offered easy breakthrough. What remedy did Jesus suggest? The first is knowledge of our value and God's love for us. To explain our value, Jesus used ordinary things we find everywhere. Birds, flowers, and grass do not labor, plan, or save as we do. Yet they thrive because God takes good care of them. This simple logic clearly demonstrates that we are more valuable than those ordinary things. Accordingly, the degree of God's care far exceeds that of those. Now, have you wondered about how valuable you are? If you haven't, I have an answer for that. After a quick Google search, I learned that all of you are more than deca-millionaires. You know what deca means? 10. You have more than $10 million. I'll prove that. Give me a chance. Let me quote the value of just several parts of your body. Do you know how much a kidney transplant costs? Google says that without insurance in the U.S., a kidney transplant costs a massive amount, with estimates ranging from $200,000 to over $500,000 for the first year alone, or ranging, averaging around $446,800 for the transplant procedure itself, that's the 2025 data, plus huge ongoing costs for lifelong anti-rejection drug, that is $2,500 a month. Counting two kidneys you have, now you are more than a millionaire already. A heart transplant in the U.S. costs nearly $2 million without insurance. Now, a true human leg transplant, have you heard of it? A true leg, the real human leg transplant, using a donor limb, is a complex experimental procedure with costs not well established, but likely hundreds of thousands to millions. And you all have two legs. I asked Google another question. How much is a human worth in money? I mean, there's such a question, and then Google answers it. It's crazy. I'll tell you the answer. The answer was, a human monetary worth isn't a fixed price, but varies significantly by context. And now this is a real thing. With government agencies using a value of a statistical life, government use this thing, you know, abbreviated as a VSL, for regulations, often around, you know how much? 10 to 13.5 million in the U.S. While black market organ estimate can reach tens of millions. So think about it, calculating all the non-transferable organ parts, your value goes much higher. So would you believe that you are more than a deca-billion? How does God love us more than the bird and flowers? Jesus said, because you are more valuable than they. Paul said in Romans 8:32, if he didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also freely give us all things? So why worry? We are so precious in God's eyes, and God promised to take very good care of us. Lastly, instead of wasting our time and energy on worrying about money, as in verse 24, or what to eat and drink, we have a better thing to do. Shift our focus to the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus said that worrying about sustenance is what pagans who do not know God do. Non-believers waste away by worrying. We do not see a gravestone that reads, he or she died of worry, but there is no question that many died of illness developed because of worry and anxiety. So what should the believers do? Instead of worrying, we kneel and pray. The Intermountain Health website says that as you repeat a phrase that's important to you, it begins to have a calming effect. It recommends silently repeating a short prayer or phrase. I mean, this is what I did. When I felt like the satanic force was tempting me, I repeated the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," over and over. In other similar situations, I repeated Psalm 23 and 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows," over and over. And I experienced that dark clouds over my path went away. Jesus invites us to a worry-free lifestyle that can be so easy. There are three things we have to do. First, be mindful that worrying is practically needless because it does not improve situation. Second, know that we are so valuable in God's eyes and that God takes care of our sustenance. Another reason not to worry. Third, we have a better thing to do. Shift our focus to our call to serve and glorify God. We are to live a call-driven life, not a worry-driven life. As a conclusion, I'm going to read this translation from the Message, and let's hear again Jesus' life lesson on worry. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang in your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time, money wasted on fashion, do you think that it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk in out into the field and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But you have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabbily alongside them. Very clever translation. Though I encourage you to dress up very nicely when you come to Sunday worship, because I love seeing pretty ladies and handsome men here. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he will attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concern will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may and may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up. when the time comes. Amen.